All right, you ready for this?
Ready.
This is Tom Salemi of Device Talks. Welcome back to the Device Talks weekly podcast. We're going to talk about early stage med tech today. I had the chance to speak with Marwan Barada. He is the founder and managing partner of T45 Labs, which is a very cool med tech incubator in Santa Clara, California, just a couple blocks from where we had the Device Talks West Conference. We'll talk about Marwan's career, a lot of time in startups, some time at very interesting clinical, interesting and prestigious clinical setting. We'll leave it for that. And then we'll talk about how he came to co-found and start T45 Labs. And we'll review some of the companies that they've produced. It's a great effort to produce more early stage med techs. We love that stuff. So I know you'll enjoy that conversation. Before that, Chris Newmarker and I will hit upon the Newmarker's newsmakers. So enjoy all of the news that Mass Device has to bring. And finally, of course, don't forget to register for Device Talks Boston, which is open. Registration is open, and it is happening on April 30th and May 1st. We'll talk about a couple of speakers in the podcast. And finally, don't forget to register for our upcoming Device Talks Tuesdays. It's brought to you by the Voluntary Improvement Program at Isaka, and it's called Accelerate Success, Boost Efficiencies, Quality, and Innovation in Medical Device Manufacturing. It happens at 4 p.m. on Tuesday. It's 4 p.m. Eastern, but of course, you can watch it live at that time, or you can watch it on demand, but you do need to register, and it's free, absolutely free. You can ask questions whenever you watch, so it's a great way to get the insights when you need them, or be part of our live discussion, and I'll be there on the chat, and we'll have some fun. So go to devicetalks.com to register for the Device Talks Tuesdays. And of course, while you're there, you can listen to other great podcasts, and you can register for Device Talks Boston. All right, let us get this podcast started. Chris Newmarker, how are you, sir?
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, as we're recording this at 9:33 a.m. Eastern, 8:33 a.m. Central, where Chris is at. And
I'm just learning that this time of year, right first thing in the morning, like the sunlight is just like...
You know, I was on a call with you and someone else in Minneapolis yesterday, and you were just complaining about the clouds. Now you're complaining about the sun. Are you just like us Boston folks, and you just complain about everything too?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
I thought you were happy, nice people.
We are. Yeah. We complain in a very nice way.
Oh, darn sun.
Oh, gosh, darn it. Like, you know, like, sure. Like,
well, that's
I'm good. Sure you hear that all the time around Boston. Gosh darn it. I'm sure that's something a Bostonian
oh, yeah, all the time. Yeah.
Gee whiz. I've
got someone off in traffic. Like, golly willikers, where's your head at?
Golly willikers, yay you.
anyway, so I'm glad the sun is out in Minneapolis.
Nice. Having
a lovely kind of post-fall day here in New England. Well, I mean, it's fall, obviously, but all the leaves have that kind of like, we're dead. Just let us fall to the ground. Look on them. Yeah, they're not very vibrant these days.
There's just a few trees around here hanging on. Like, I got a neighbor who's got a giant maple. It's still just hanging. It's got those yellow leaves on. It's like, I'm not dropping them yet. It's like, all right. Like,
I got one of those in my backyard. I'm just waiting. I'll be out there with the leaf blower, getting them one at a time as they come down.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Chris Newmarker, enough about the weather report. We did our election thing last year. We'll have a little bit of that in the Newmarker's newsmakers, but we don't need to bore people with that. Let's see. Any news on the Device Talks front? No, we're still moving forward. And I mentioned this at the top, Device Talks Boston, April 30th, May 1st. We'll have Duke Rolin of Ajax as one of our keynotes.
That'll be awesome.
And, yep. And also announced this week, we'll have Dr. Scott Sigmund, who's an orthopedic surgeon in the area, who's heavy into the future of the industry. He's become really known for his stance against opioids and really trying to manage pain and without opioids. So I posted a YouTube, a TED Talk he did earlier this week. But we're going to have him, and we'll have a few other people doing similar presentations on different areas, but we'll have him doing a presentation on the future of orthopedics. So
fantastic.
Trying to bring some new ideas to Device Talks. And I have another keynote panel that I think we'll be able to announce next week.
And, we've already been, doing some networking meetings with groups around Minneapolis because we got Device Talks Minnesota coming back in June. So,
exactly. Yeah, there's not a lot of time between April 30th and June 11th. It sounds like it when you first say it. But as you're planning, you're like, oh, we're really doing two events at once. So, yes, we've got a dual tracks going on. And I've actually got two key speakers already for Device Talks West. So we're humming. And rolling here at Device Talks.
What if we did the events at the same time? Like, I mean, do they still have a Concord around? Like, you could do a Live Aid thing? I'm really dating myself.
I'm not sure if the Concord would. I think we would need Santa's sleigh to get them all done at the same time.
I mean, because it would be great. It'd be like you do a morning keynote in Boston, and then you, show up in Minneapolis in the afternoon. Like, hey, I'm here. It would be, exciting. No.
Yeah, we'll put that one in the old suggestion box there, Christy Mugger. That sounds like a real winning idea right there.
Two events in the two of the greatest med tech hubs in the United States at the same time.
Exactly. Speaking of med tech, Chris Newmarker, people want to hear the news of the week.
Tom's like, I'm filing no. you just yesed me away, Tom. You yesed me away.
I don't know who's listening to this, but what if I get a call from our CEO saying, I like that Newmarker kid. He's got some great ideas. Then I'm in big trouble.
Yeah, that's true. I'm like, do they have supersonic private jets? Could we?
What is number five on the Newmarker's newsmakers, Chris Newmarker?
Okay, number five, we've got artificial intelligence. That's been kind of a trending topic lately. It's getting some attention.
But I heard about it.
There's a collaboration between GE Healthcare and Deep Health to advance the adoption of AI in energy in imaging. Sorry, they want to develop smart technology solutions.
Okay, and this is written by Sean Hooley.
Sean Hooley, yeah.
And GE Healthcare says the collaboration uses its imaging expertise and scale, and DeepHealth will offer AI-powered health informatics. So yeah, so it's another we're seeing. We've talked about this before, but we're seeing I think more collaborations between medtech and other medtechs, but also medtechs and AI and tech companies. So
yeah, and it makes a lot of sense because I mean medical device companies traditionally, I mean they're more like mechanical, electrical engineering expertise. I mean why build up this whole software expertise in-house when there are companies that know how to do it, as long as you make sure that they're doing it in a safe and efficacious way. But yeah, the idea of AI and imaging, I mean, gosh, we already had GI Genius, with Medtronic, Cosmo Pharmaceuticals, this idea that an AI can help kind of point out to somebody that there's something that could be an issue on an imaging scan or suggest things that could move things along faster. I mean that sounds very valuable. Could be really good for radiologists.
All right. Let's move on to number four.
We got a fun spokesperson announcement. We've got
that's
right. We got Zimmer Biomet. Arnold Schwarzenegger is the chief movement officer of Zimmer Biomet. So everybody knows who that guy is. I mean, he's going to be helping to get the word out about people increasing mobility, which is an important part of Zimmer Biomet's business.
Yep, and in this statement, Arnold Schwarzenegger said he wants every single person in the world to discover the joy of fitness and movement. And he says, I agree with the famous quote, if you rest, you rust. And my goal with the Zimmer Biomet is to continue to push people to see that movement creates joy and extends the quality of our lives. Well, we need some joy, Chris Newmarker. We could use some joy. And it's a good hire. Obviously, it's not going to be knee deep in operations or design, but I think anything that brings some attention to the medtech industry. You know, yeah. You and I have talked frequently about how we don't have a lot of sizzle. We got a lot of steak, but not a lot of sizzle.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have the science ooh wow of pharma, or the hey everybody gets to be a millionaire by the time they're 25 of tech.
Right.
So I'm all for having Arnold Schwarzenegger as a member of the medtech team. So
I mean, medtech's just putting like devices inside people's bodies that right. improve their lives.
What does that have to do with anything?
Snooze,
who
right?
Cares you know, about yeah. that? Who cares about you know, extending quality of life and saving lives and keeping people alive?
Right. I mean, you know, you hear about corporate. Sometimes you hear about corporate spokesperson. You know, announcements, and you're like, yeah, whatever. You know, this is actually, yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's cool.
Absolutely. And of course, you and I are Gen Xers, so we love Arnold. So happy to have him on Team MedTech. So good move by Zimmer Biomet. And believe me, if I could get him as a keynote at a Device Talks meeting,
oh my gosh,
100% would do that. Be fantastic. Be a great conversation. Because he's always, I mean, we've all seen, I think, the Netflix special. And he's just a fascinating dude. And super inspirational. So
very cool.
Cool, cool. All right. What is number three in the New Markets Newsmakers, Chris?
Number three on the list, we got robotic surgery news. We got Momentus Surgical announcing that the FDA cleared their second generation Inovo surgical robot. So they continue to move forward with this robotic system.
And it says the second generation Inovo platform brings a suite of upgrades to enhance surgeon experience. That includes the first FDA cleared robotic system capable of operating both retroflexion and antiflexion.
And this system has like miniature humanoid shaped robotic arms, you know, and the idea here is it provides, you know, kind of like a human level of dexterity, you know, like 360 degrees of articulation. So, I mean, this is, you know, definitely, you know, seems to be, you know, one of those types of systems that, you know, could be more flexible, could, you know, I mean, they definitely seem to be making ambulatory surgery center play, don't you think, Tom?
I would think so, yeah. It seems to be that scale of robot for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's, that's just such an interesting how, like, healthcare is just shifting so much into those settings. And you know, it's, I mean, even though we are like, wow, intuitive, you know, Da Vinci 5, you know, they got such a lock on hospitals. There's just like all this innovation in the robotic surgery space, you know, around like these kind of like newer healthcare settings. So
absolutely. Care will be moving out of the hospitals. I mean, I was at MassMedic at a regulatory roundup meeting earlier this week, and incoming CDRH leader, Dr. Michelle Tarver, gave a remote talk. One of her big pushes is healthcare at home and helping patients get care outside of the hospital. So it's going to be a big part of our world going forward, and that includes, of course, ambulatory surgery centers. Surgery centers aren't homes, but they're certainly they're going to be a big part of where we go going forward, especially when you start talking about telesurgery capabilities, which seem to be advancing every single week. You hear a new story. So,
I mean, sure, I would be amazed if we had an in-home open heart surgery at some point. I mean, there's certain things you just, you need to be in a hospital and they're going to need to like keep you there for a while, like to keep an eye on you here. But yeah, there's like a lot of things that, you know, could be done in the home.
Absolutely. All right, Chris Neumacher, what is number two?
You know, and talking about FDA, outgoing Commissioner Robert Califf, he gave a talk early this week at the Friends of Cancer Research annual meeting, and this was streamed on video. So, you know, there's like video online of, you know, Califf's talk, but he weighed in kind of on, you know, the what's going on with the incoming Trump administration. I mean, he's, you know, he didn't say he's a Biden appointee. He didn't say he's leaving, you know, but, you know, he kind of, you know, made some suggestions. He's definitely like going to be exiting. You know, it seemed like, I mean, but didn't make an official announcement, but, you know, he kind of, you know, like Jim Hammerand has a really nice summary of kind of like some of the things he was saying about, you know, where he sees going. You know, really kind of making a pitch to the industry, you know, that, you know, to kind of stand by the regulators, you know, the, you know, to make, because, you know, our industry has a it seems like it's built a really good partnership with FDA, and you know, they're actually being regulated, like, is like really support a lot of innovation in the industry. So if things get a little too different over there, you know, might not be good for our industry.
Yeah, well, Jim wrote that Dr. Califf was asked whether FDA employees are eyeing the exits, and Califf said, quote, people are waiting to see. So I wonder what the feeling will be about the news that came after these comments were made, which is that Robert
RFK Jr.
Might be or is the nominee for the head of HHS. I think that one caught me by surprise. I know it caught me by surprise. I think it caught a lot of people by surprise. I didn't think that was the place that he would end up. I thought it would be more of a ceremonial position or advisory position. Yes.
HHS, he's, you know, like, and Kennedy's said, like, he'd like to get rid of whole sections of FDA. So it seems like he's more focused on the nutritional side of things, you know, and even Califf in his talk earlier this week was kind of pointing out that, you know, some of those things that are brought up are things that the law says they've got to do, you know, so it's not like, oh, FDA, you did this, you know. It's like, well, you know, there's things in the actual, you know, laws that say that they have to do it. So I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
We'll see. I talked to a few people earlier in the week about just, this is again prior to the news, Thursday's news about RFK Jr. Investors, VCs were, you know, we really make long-term bets, so we're not necessarily too concerned. And talking with someone who's at an industry group, their feeling was like, look, MedTech makes things cheaper and makes care better. So, you know, there's really not a lot of, not a lot of targets for efforts like these. So maybe our sector will be spared, but I don't know. Just,
you know, Project 2025, I mean, there's a section in it that, you know, that talks about, which, I mean, yeah, Trump disavowed it, but, you know, there's people, a lot of the people who wrote that are going to be part of this administration, but, you know, it kind of had a part that kind of was complaining, you know, saying that there were problems with, you know, kind of, you know, industries paying FDA for regulation, which is basically describes what MedTech does, you know, with our fee-based structure. But it also, like, a lot of the language around it suggested, like, it was a lot more like talking about the pharmaceutical industry. You know, that's kind of where the focus was, this kind of idea of pharma being too, you know, cozy with FDA, I guess, you know. So I mean, yeah, well, you know, it's, you know, there's separations of power in our country, too. Nominees have to be confirmed. You know, you can't just, like, completely change departments without approval from Congress. So, you know, we'll... yeah, it'll be interesting times. And, you know, and Califf, you know, his talk wasn't totally negative earlier this week. I mean, he was also saying kind of like times of like great change or also like opportunities. So, I mean, this could be a time when, you know, there's things that a lot of people have been like, gosh, it'd be nice if we reformed FDA so that it did this. You know, that this could be, if they're really like going to be opening up the, you know, the hood here and, you know, doing some work on FDA. I mean, you know, this might be the time to, you know, like something, something positive could happen.
We'll see. I mean, honestly haven't gone line by line through Project 2025. I've talked to people who have, and I will go through them. I've heard there's some things that may change for hospital payments. So again, to your earlier point, this has been disavowed as the platform for the Trump administration, but I'm not sure if that's entirely the case. I think it will certainly be used as a guidepost or guideline. So we'll see. I guess we'll see what we see.
Yeah. It's
been an interesting week with all the appointments that have come forth so far. So promises to be something worth following in the weeks to come. But let's end this.
We'll be staying on top of the news at Mass Device. Oh, yeah. So keep an eye. We'll keep you informed.
Let's end this with a positive true medtech story, Chris Neumarker. What's number one?
Yeah, positive news. We've been waiting for this for a while, but Johnson & Johnson won FDA IDE to get going on with the Ottava surgical robot. So, this is like J&J's play to get in and compete with Intuitive in the soft tissue robotic surgery space. So it's moving forward.
Absolutely, no, it's exciting news. People have been anxious to see J&J and Medtronic get into this game. Some have put forth that it's too late for them to get into the game. But I trust that these companies wouldn't spend the time they're spending on something that's not going to have the legs to at least to make an effort. And there's obviously openings, as we talked about, with ASCs and other approaches where they could potentially find openings. So in any case, we don't have to look too far down the road. So let's just focus on today, which is congratulations to J&J for the IDA for the Ottava surgical robot. It's going to be great to see what comes from it.
Yeah, exciting to see what's next.
Absolutely. All right, Chris Neumarker. Interesting times.
Interesting times. Yeah,
that's what we're supposed to wish for, right?
That's that. What's that old saying? It can be.
May you live in interesting times. Both. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It could be. Is it a curse or an opportunity? But at least. At least it's interesting times, right?
All right, Chris Neumarker, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Tom. Take care, buddy.
Well, Moran Barada, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
My pleasure. I love learning about incubators, and I understand you're also a neighbor of ours of Device Talks West. You're in the Santa Clara Convention Center neighborhood, right?
That is correct. Where the magic happens, or at least we believe so. At least with the 49ers.
That's right. I know. We went to see – I was out there for another meeting in September, and I was like, well, let's go down to the convention center, check out the space, and forgot it was Monday Night Football, and the Niners were playing, and the place was packed. So I don't know how you manage on those Mondays when they play, because the area was pretty crazy. But that's not why we're here. Let's talk about your career in medtech and where you are today. Marwan, how'd you find your way into medical devices?
Yeah, so originally I'm from Morocco. So I came to the U.S. when I was 18. Actually, I found my way by watching one of my family members get a hydrocephalus shunt implanted by a neurosurgeon from Harvard. And he was also a Moroccan. They came to study in the U.S. and came back to Morocco for his medical practice. So I was so enamored by the process, how somebody can go from being almost dead to having a full life. And I wanted to do that. So asked questions, landed in Boston to learn English. Believe it or not, you might sense French accent from my background, but did that for about 6 months, then attended University of Minnesota in Minneapolis, which is a huge hub of medical devices, and then loved it. Loved the in innovation part of it, the R&D part of it up to a certain point, and thought it was important to contribute back, so join the force.
That's great. I see you've got your mechanical engineering bachelor's and master's from University of Minnesota. My son is getting his bachelor's in mechanical engineering right now, sophomore year. He's getting crushed. Any advice for the medical engineering students out there who are hard at work?
Yeah, absolutely. Work harder.
That's what I tell them. Jeez.
No, I think for the students out there, mentoring is key. There are a lot of opportunities in the world as a mechanical engineer. You can go many different directions. Be interested, curious, find your own way. So I think that's good. Mechanical engineering is a great degree.
Absolutely. No, he's excited. So looking at your LinkedIn background, it looks like you, at least the first med tech job I see listed is senior R&D engineer at EV3. Was that your first stint in med tech?
Yeah. So I started a little bit with Boston Scientific through the University of Minnesota. So they had a great program, a new product development. I think we were maybe first or second cohort of that program at the master's level. Fantastic, worked with great people at Boston Scientific. Then I moved to EV3, R&D, just developing filters, embolic protection filters. And then from there, this is actually before, you know, EV3, I was employee number 8 at EV3. So really, really at the inception of the entire.
Wow.
Yeah. Fantastic, fantastic story there. Fantastic outcome for EV3. So we're excited about what happened there.
What was it? So you're employee 8. It's a small operation. What was you're doing? We'll get into what you're doing now. You're building startups now. But what do you like about a startup? What works for you?
I like a little bit that chaotic aspect of startups that yep. you bring in into how it is, how you can order it. I think it's very key to, you know, I like that. I don't like large organizations, not because they're not great. They're great to work in, but I think it doesn't fit me, like in the sense that I need to think out of the box, mm-hmm. find new things, and I don't want to get into too many, well, why are you doing it? This is not what we ask you to do. Mm-hmm. I think that's innovation. Innovation is when you're really a little bit chaotic in your head and then try new things. Otherwise, how can you bring new technology or new activities if you don't fail first and then learn from your failures?
No, that's great. That's a great perspective. I'm a big fan of uncertainty. I find it very exciting and trying to find the way. So
absolutely.
I guess that's something similar. So you went from EV3 to Cryocast. So did you just remain mostly in looks like early stage companies? I'm scanning through. We'll talk about your time at Cleveland Clinic in a moment. That's clearly not an early stage company, but you were working with early stage companies. But how do you build a career in startups? And maybe you could convey that through your experiences.
Yeah, for that one, it was really a fortunate moment. One of my master's degree was in cryobiology.
Wow.
So yeah. Wanting to preserve organs and learn how to deliver cold so you can actually kill organs. So CryoCath was an interesting path. I had to move from the US to Canada for immigration purposes. Unfortunately, it was around 9/11's time.
Okay.
Then Canada was a welcoming home for me at that time, and CryoCath as well. Story there, just packed everything and then moved to CryoCat and knocked at their door, said, "Hey, I would like to have a job." And they offered me a job. So another funny story there. So how you build a career? Maybe I'm not the most, a person that has an organized agenda, I just say. I think CryoCat was more of an opportunistic agenda, which we did very, very well. Obviously, cryoablation and electrophysiology has taken off. Now with PFA, it's a different story. But for a while, CryoCat was really a darling for a lot of people.
You and I just became best friends, Marwan. I'm not a very organized person either with a grand plan. I hear you. So let's talk about the stint you had at the senior director. You were senior director of product development at the Cleveland Clinic's Global Cardiovascular Innovation Center. Is that a job that's actually in Cleveland, or were you sort of a regional representative someplace?
No. It's definitely a job within the Cleveland Clinic.
Okay.
The Cleveland Clinic at that time had a bond from or economic development from the state of Ohio. So they partnered up in trying to bring talent to the Cleveland area. And the hiring entity is obviously the Cleveland Clinic. And my job was to really work for the Heart and Vascular Institute on all the physicians, so cryothoracic surgery, vascular surgery, robotic surgery, electrophysiology, heart failure, go to cath labs, go to ORs, and help physicians at the Cleveland Clinic with their innovation or innovate with them. I always say, tell people, look, you know, you go to Harvard for your business school, and I went to Cleveland Clinic for my clinical school. It's a fantastic opportunity. I learned a lot. It shaped me, I have to say that. So the patient first mantra becomes really what I'm doing today at T45. So I've seen people suffering. I've seen people that they've been saved by awesome doctors from the Cleveland Clinic. So I owe that institution quite a bit of inspiration, I have to say. So
we hear that expression or that mantra a lot: patient first, from folks in med tech. What is it? This is a question that I didn't prepare you for, so it might be deeper than you expected to go. But what does that mean to you? Because medical device development is all about the patient. But how do you really take that to a level to where to the Cleveland Clinic takes it? Like, how do they differentiate themselves from others, if that's a question that can even be answered?
Yeah, so at the Cleveland Clinic, there are two things. One is obviously the skill set of surgery, mm-hmm. and then do the best and hire the best. So that's patient first. Obviously, the financial side, so do what is necessary for the patient. And then the third thing that I think we don't talk about, and it's huge at the Cleveland Clinic, is empathy. So how do you deliver empathy to patients and then be part of that cycle to make these patients comfortable within really daunting settings? So not that I can take empathy within an incubator, but we try to bring it through thinking, you know, are the devices today using the OR efficient for patients and the institutions? Do they make sense? And you can see from our first picks on the companies that we have, we try to change a little bit. They're not huge innovation leaps, but small enough that they can make a huge difference within the OR and to patients as well.
Interesting. And you say you got your grad degree of sorts at the Cleveland Clinic. Next, you went off to Shifa Med, where I'm guessing that's definitely a post-grad experience there. What did you learn there? It's a really fascinating organization.
Absolutely. Shout out to Amr, my mentor and a great guy. Actually, I told him this, so I used to have his picture with his bio, on my desk.
Oh, really?
Reading it almost every day. Yeah. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. So the inspiration there is fantastic. Shifa Med, I was executive in residence. So looking at different technologies, looking at how we can, which companies to build and why. It was a great moment there. Has a lot of successes. Came in at the right time, and then hopefully I contributed to that organization for about a year and a half. That the inspiration came to me. It's like, well, maybe it's time for me to build something that is similar. And Amr and I talked about it, and then I was able to leave in good terms. Where we're still friends now as well. So. It's fantastic. So if a shout out to anybody out there talking about mechanical engineers and engineers, so please put your CVs not only at Shifa Med, but don't forget T45, but we'll give first we'll give first pick of the litter to Shifa Med, great organization.
If you're looking for an intern this summer, I'll let my son know.
All right.
He wants to do aerospace, but I keep trying to get him into medtech. So you went to you were chief business officer at Next Step, and I want to get into T45 in a moment, but that seems inconsistent with some of the roles you've had in the past. Was that sort of an experience mending or expanding sort of position?
Yeah, so actually one thing that we skipped is along the way when I was in Montreal is I did my MBA in finance and strategy. So wanted to really move into the business side of things.
Okay.
Next Step Medical is a device that is combining a PTA with an angiographic catheter. It's a very cool and nice and neat device. So helping a friend there getting off the ground on the commercialization. So I'm part of the board and part of the advisory. The product is 510Ks, and they're looking into cracking a commercialization in the U.S.
Does learning that part of the business, being the chief business officer, or at least understanding those responsibilities, does that inform your mechanical engineering side of your brain and help you design better?
Absolutely. I think as mechanical engineers and product development, we can design, if we have a problem, we will solve it, right? Mm-hmm. Do we solve a problem that is economically efficient, both on the cost and then on the revenue side of it? That's a different question. So, and then what do you put into your product that would make that gross profit margin the highest possible? And how do you design for manufacturability? So there are a whole bunch of stuff in there that are added. And I think the appreciation of the business side, I think, makes you a better product development person, for sure.
Interesting. So you started T45, looks like November 2022, and I feel like I was reading your LinkedIn profile. It's probably not good theater for our listeners, but in between, you're a co-founder of, is it Vahadikor?
Vahadikor. So the story there, T45, yes, it started in 2022, but the reality, T45 was in my head for a long, long time. So that's just when we start putting things together. So T45 is an incubator that has advanced nanotherapies, Fajari Core, and Nuevo Sono, in addition to another company, fourth one called Recava, which is not listed. I think it's for the enjoyment of external public reading my LinkedIn profile. I still need to put things more transparent that way, but the companies are under the T45 umbrella per se. So
okay, well, let's talk about T45. So how does one incubate an incubator? I mean, what do you what's the building blocks? Is it just the notion that you want to start companies and you just put up a shingle saying as much, or is it finding a partner or partners who can help make it happen? How did you start putting T45 together?
Yeah, so everyone, I think, has a different story. I think the inception of incubators in one's head is, at least in my head, is the economies of scale. In business school, they teach you, or at least what I learned from it, is two things: fixed cost versus variable cost. So you want to minimize your fixed costs and maximize your variable cost. So when you do an incubator, you know, the overhead is fixed cost. So you need to minimize that and see how you can divide it among different companies. I think one company funded, and this is again my opinion, one company funded with one, having to have accounting, having to have some, regulatory and all of that, and then, not being able to divide or hire the right person because it's just a small role, doesn't make it compelling. So an incubator allows you to hire the right people full time and then divide them among different companies and then take care of them, also from a stock option perspective. So that's one. Two, we always talk to the same people, right? Whether it's physicians or KOLs or strategics or others. So I think economies of scale allows us to go and present multiple opportunities to these people and have them on multiple opportunities. I think people like that. They really are engaged. We like also, now we have physicians coming to us and asking us for help in developing products for them and incubating them. Maybe we'll get to it later, but the ecosystem for innovation in medtech has changed significantly over the past years, and money is scarce. So everybody's trying to find a new way, and maybe T45 is another model here that can be successful too.
Well, let's talk about that now. How do you think that it has changed? I agree it has changed. I think there used to be I used to have a whole list of early stage VCs that I could call to see what they were working on. I don't have that list anymore. And part of it is I'm doing other stuff. The other thing is, I don't know if it would be as long a list as it used to be. How is the early stage environment landscape for medtech changed?
Yeah, I think innovation first from physicians and others is healthy. What's not healthy is the funding, as we all know. And how do you bridge that? So I think it's hard to find for first-time inventors, not seasoned, but you have a good idea. It's hard to find money. I think once you find money, valuations are terrible. So dilution is high.
I was expecting good news. Once you find money, valuations are terrible.
Well, that is true too. So this actually will come to the reason why we tried to build T45 Fund 1 and then subsequent funds as well. But back to the question that you asked, it is very the ecosystem is hard. The ideas are here, but people trusting a management team to execute, it's hard to find. Mm-hmm. And then everybody walked out from the early stage. Now, what do we do? How will the pipeline of good project be healthy 5 years from now? So we hope that we can, have good projects that we can deliver five years from now based on our model here.
Interesting. So first, simple question, or maybe it's simple. T45, what is the name? Where did the name come from?
Very, very funny story. So this is a wink, wink to the Cleveland Clinic. So when I was there, and then physicians are very busy people. Obviously, they work very hard, very early, and then it's hard to get them focused when they are in their environments. Everybody pinging them. If you've been to the Cleveland Clinic, there is a nice hotel called the Intercontinental Hotel. And then in that hotel, there's a nice restaurant called the Table 45. So when the invitation would be sent to these physicians, we say, hey, let's meet at T45 for drinks and discussions about your innovation. And often you strike deals at that nice venue. So what I wanted to do with Incubator at the beginning, I just called it T45 Labs as a placeholder, thinking that one day we'll have enough money to hire a great marketing team and and then do this brainstorming and soul searching. And then the name stuck. The story was great, and I think this is really speaks towards the innovation at heart that I have, and the clinic, and the impact from the Cleveland Clinic on my career.
No, it's a nice piece of a nice homage to the Cleveland Clinic, and if it inspires you every day to capture the energy that was at Table 45, then I think it certainly works. So how is T45, you talked a bit about it, but you mentioned a fund, how is it structured? Do you have a fund to invest in these companies yourselves, or are you working with angels or others who are investing in what you do? How does the financial side work?
Yeah, exactly. So we decided to do with the, we recognized very early that it's hard to find money and the process is highly inefficient. So you find a lot of no's, and it was very difficult as a process. And if you have multiple companies, you cannot spend your time just chasing money in that way. So I partnered up with a friend of mine. I have two partners, Sanj Kalra and Michael Mandel. And Sanj allowed us to access family offices. So under T45 Fund 1, we have about 30 family offices in there. Well, they put a small amount because we were just getting started. But the hope, and then we raised about $27 million. But the hope is after we were successful that we can go back to this family offices and say, look, we've proven to you that, we're doing the right thing with your funding, which we appreciate. And let's expand the pie. Mm-hmm. So the way how we do it is we tell these physicians, I'm sorry, these family offices and these LPs in which companies they're investing. We say, look, we have advanced nanotherapies, Vahidicorn, we have also on Recava. They're moving a different direction, a different paces in here. So obviously some of them are clinical and some are not. So, but here's how we're going to deploy your money throughout time into these companies. So we give them a schedule and we try to adhere to that schedule. So far we called about 65% of that fund, which is great, and directly applied to these companies. We have been very successful. We're already looking at a second fund, Fund 2, for $50 million, 50. Mm-hmm. We're starting that process. And I think this this picture of we'll tell you in which companies you invest, and then if there's a change, we'll come back. We'll go back to the investment committee, and then we will discuss it. It's fantastic. At least for these LP, they know they're not just giving money and say, well, now you have a thesis, we'll see what you can find out there. We're already providing to them real assets and goals that we want to achieve.
And you've got four companies I'm seeing on your website, in your portfolio. So Advanced Nanotherapies, Vahidicorn, which we mentioned earlier, Nuevo Sono,
yeah.
And Recava, which we mentioned earlier. Well, we can go into each of them in a moment, but I'd like to just understand sort of how each is worked on. Do the three of you, the partners, kind of just spend a day here, an hour there? Have you brought in people from the outside to manage, and you're sort of overseeing those folks? What is the day-to-day development of these four companies look like?
Yeah, excellent question. So the three partners have different skill sets. So myself, product development, clinical, regulatory, and just bringing product forward. Michael Mandel is more into the investment banking world. Mm-hmm. So he brings in all the finance. And Sanj is in the fundraising business. So both institutional and non-institutional fundraising. So every one of us has a mission, obviously very distinct from each other. When it comes to operations and day-to-day, I'm a CEO of Advanced Nanotherapies, but also overseeing Vahidicorn and Nuevo Sono for now. we are trying to recruit people, CEOs, but it's always this question: do you raise the funds first and hire a CEO, or do you hire a CEO, then this person can go and raise their funds? So we're always trying to answer that question. We're opportunistic in the sense that if we find a good person to come in at the leadership, we will try to make space for this person. The other thing that I want to say, we're about 35 people for now.
Oh, so 35. Okay.
So there are engineers and there are other regulatory and clinical folks that are part of our ecosystem here. So we're small, but we're nimble. We try to minimize the cost of bringing a technology forward, so we can maximize the return on every technology.
Let's run through the companies and just give me like the 1 minute why on each of them. Let's start with Advanced Nanotherapies.
Yeah, so Advanced Nanotherapy is my darling a little bit from the Cleveland Clinic, as they say. So it's nanotechnology applied to drug-coated balloon. We're differentiating ourselves by putting two drugs into one nanoparticle. And you probably already, Tom, this discussion between paclitaxel and sirolimus, which one is better. So we're trying to be agnostic to that and then do the two drugs into one nanoparticle. Nanoparticles have multiple advantages as well. So it's widely used right now in pharma. So why not bring it to the device world? Also, we have found that mixing sirolimus and paclitaxel at a certain ratio gives you a synergistic effect. So now 1 + 1 = 45 in our case. So we try to expand and add more technology into something that is fairly simple here. And these nanoparticles also down the road, one can imagine that you can add new drugs. So a drug delivery that is consistent into a vessel and well done is better than all the different drug-coated balloons that are out there today, where you have a drug and excipient, and most of them are just shedding a lot of drug on the table. So talking about patient first that we mentioned earlier, and then in this particular also physician, so patient and physician safety is very important. And then I think it behooves us to move our technology to the next level so we can enjoy a better drug delivery in the field of med tech for maybe the next 10 to 15 years. So we're opening the door with nanotechnology.
And all right, next we've mentioned earlier twice now, Vahedicor. I think I'm saying it right. Maybe I'm not.
No, you're saying right.
All right.
No, you're good. You're good.
Restoring microvascular perfusion. What does Vahedicor do?
Well, there is actually this disease that is nascent and people don't know about yet. And then you can see it more and more being in the front pages of different conferences. So it's called angina with non-obstructive coronary artery disease, or ischemia with non-obstructive coronary artery disease. This is part of a condition called coronary microvascular dysfunction. And coronary microvascular dysfunction is the inability for small vessels. And we're talking about vessels in the micron, so 400, 500 to dilate. So now, if you have a stent and you open up an artery, does not mean that your angina is gone. Matter of fact, that studies have shown that 20% of that population still feel angina after you have opened up arteries. And that angina is really due to this microvascular disease that is the inability to open up the vessels. So it's very prevalent among women as well. So 25% of coronary angiograms have patients that can be diagnosed with CMD conditions. So this is about 1 million patients a year. And then you use a device, a very simple device, an hourglass shape that is implanted in the venous side that, just really stops the flow from or reduces the flow rate and then create a back pressure and dilates the small microvascular bed, and then helps more oxygen to stay within the heart muscle, and then angina is gone. So it's a very simple device. It's very interesting. Coronary microvascular disease is a nascent disease, and it's very prevalent as well. So we hope that we can find a therapy, or this therapy can open up a whole bunch of avenues as well for these patients. And there is no, and today there is outside medication. There's nothing available for these patients.
Oh wow! Okay. And I'll say you have very nice imagery on your website. So if folks want to see what it looks like, go to 145labs.com. There's a portfolio button there. So Nuevo Sono, the clear IVIS choice.
Nuevo Sono is another, again, the adoption of IVIS is very, very low, 10 to 15% due to workflow problems. And then Philips has the highest market share despite a low resolution versus others have, you know, workflow issues and then have the highest resolution, but they don't seem to be used. So all of that to say that we're developing an IVIS that has an ease of use similar to what Philips has been able to put together. And our images are close to OCT images from resolution perspective. We are the first IVIS that uses broadband and or multi-frequency. Multi-frequency means that, or the best analogy that I tell people is today IVIS are like a buzzer. So a single frequency, high amplitude. We've developed a sensor. It's a license from the Cleveland Clinic as well, where it's more of a speaker and then high amplitude. So now it allows you to have listen on the ultrasound airwaves between 10 megahertz to 100 megahertz instead of just being a single focused IVIS frequency. This is an excellent product. Wow. We're using wavelet analysis. We're using AI with this. So we're excited about this technology.
I wasn't aware of this energy being used for these purposes. Are you alone in that, or is this done at times?
Yeah, from broadband perspective, we're the only one. Multi-frequency analysis. I think if you take a look at all the IVISs out there, they're crystal, like piezo crystals, and they use a single frequency. Okay. All of this stems from the sensor. So we've got a new sensor. Yeah.
And the final one we can hit it upon is Recava. It's a novel take on congestive heart failure. And for folks listening at home, you can go to, I may have said 145 Labs before. It's T45 Labs, of course, T45Labs.com. There's a portfolio button there. So Marwan, tell us about Recava.
Yeah, absolutely. So Recava is an amalgamation between two products that have been already, it's in prototyping phase. So my description might be a little bit more nebulous than the other ones. So this is basically putting two devices or two mechanism of actions into one device in treating heart failure. We've built the device and we are questioning or querying, I should say, the KOLs about the potential synergistic effect that we can have by combining these two mechanisms. So we're looking forward to our animal studies and then maybe some early clinical work on that front. So that's as far as I'm going to go today with that one.
Okay. I think that's enough to certainly whet some appetites, some interest, I'm sure. So, all right, Marwan, this has been a great visit. I imagine just looking forward, a single sale of one of these products with the fund of your size would make for good returns. Two of them, I'm sure, would be a home run. Is that the... Obviously, you want them all to succeed, but what does the future look like for T45 Labs?
Yeah, we're looking forward to partner up with strategics and moving this forward. So these are assets that we built and necessary to commercialize ourselves. So we want to be able to commercialize hand in hand with strategics that think we bring in good value and good innovation to create and enhance different portfolio of these strategics as well. And then we're looking for hopefully exits. So all three of them, but I'll take one for now. And then the three would be great. So it's difficult to see how these technologies can reside only in an incubator. Like I said, we need to be able to build bridges to the patient as a patient first. Now, what's the future for us? We're looking at other assets as well, robotic surgery, mitral versus tricuspid. We're waiting on that field to see how it's going to shake out. Like I said, we are building a T45 Fund 2 for $50 million. So we're trying to put some funds into play. And we always, our eyes are always open on how the market will move so we can move with it on a fast follower fashion. I think that's a good way for us to usher technology and new technology to the patient.
Fantastic. All right, Marwan, it was great to meet you, learn your story, and to have you on the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you, Tom.
All right, that's a wrap. Thanks so much for joining us in this episode of Device Talks Weekly Podcast. Please register for Device Talks Boston. It's happening on April 30th, May 1st. Please do subscribe and follow to the Device Talks Podcast Network so you don't miss a future Device Talks podcast. Please connect with me on LinkedIn, connect with Kayleen Brown, our managing editor on LinkedIn, and connect with Chris Newmarker, executive editor of Mass Device on LinkedIn. We want to be part of your future MedTech conversations. And of course, join us on Device Talks Tuesdays. You can watch that live, you can watch that on demand, but make sure you register. Go to devicetalks.com to find and register for all these great Device Talks programs. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.